This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Yay. It's kind of officially the start of a three-day weekend.
Yeah.
And a meaningful weekend. I mean, there's more to this weekend than just a day off because Monday is Memorial Day. Traditionally, a day set aside where we honor those who have given their lives in defense of the United States of America.
Yeah. Originally, it was called Decoration Day. Originates in the years following the Civil War and became, if you can believe this, it didn't become an official federal holiday until 1971.
Yeah. Actually, I remember that. I was 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I remember when it became an official holiday.
So history.com makes the observation, of course, many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. Unofficially, it marks the beginning of the summer season, hence barbecues and, you know, used car sales. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but they very much point to the 1860s and these kind of unaffiliated springtime tributes to the soldiers that died in the American Civil War. And this was very much focused on decorating graves with flowers and the recitation of prayer. There's a bunch of different groups that all claim that Memorial Day originated in their community or in their tradition. And I think the truth is that this is an amalgam of all of that.
Yeah. No one can, you know, claim that they were the originator, right? I mean, this is a national phenomenon that, you know, many communities who obviously had veterans who had passed on as a result of conflict would have celebrated in their own way.
So the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, to be the official birthplace of Memorial Day. They point to the first celebration in that community on May 5th of 1866. And the federal government really attached to that as the official birthplace because they had hosted annual community-wide events during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves with flowers and flags. So it very much looks like Memorial Day as we know it.
Yes.
So May 5, 1868, General John Logan, leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, why not just call them Union soldiers? Okay. Called for a nationwide day of remembrance, saying the 30th of May, 1868 is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet in the land. Originally called Decoration Day. And it was that name and time was chosen because it was not the anniversary of any particular battle.
I remember older aunts I had that used to still refer to it as a Decoration Day.
Okay.
Because they would, you would visit the gravesite of a fallen soldier, and you would decorate their graves with flowers and mementos, however you chose to do it.
So on the first official Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 participants decorated 20,000 graves there. A little bit early on in the conversion of the old plantation.
Yeah, that would have been still fresh in everyone's mind, that conflict. I think that some of that speaks to, you said before, why didn't they just call them veterans? Because for a while in the history of the country, you had Northern soldiers, you had Southern soldiers. Even though the war was over, they still realized, hey, at one point we had a conflict and we're still kind of separate groups.
Do you have a family tradition? You talked about your Uncle Curtis, mm-hmm. and his much appreciated attitude of, we did not serve this country and those men and women did not lay down their lives for people to sit around contemplating their shoelaces. Does your family have a routine, or is this something from year to year you look for new opportunities?
No, it sticks in my head because one, I was attracted to my Uncle Curtis because, one, he was a super cool guy. I was really proud that I got his first name as my middle name. You know, he was the quintessential uncle, you know, the kind of guy that, you know, is your buddy. And the kind of guy who would say, now, don't tell your mother, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I was also attracted to his military service because he gave me some of his items. He was a Navy diver, part of the group that became the first frogmen. And, for example, I have his World War II diving knife, and it's bent.
Yeah.
Slightly bent because it was a tool. And you know, it's not bent because he killed someone with it. He was just using it. And so, you know, my Uncle Curtis, even though he came home, which I'm very glad to say he did, you know, his remembrance of serving in World War II has always stuck in my mind. But I have no other members of my immediate family. I have a couple of brothers-in-law who served in Vietnam, but fortunately they came home.
Yeah.
So Memorial Day to us, I will admit, it was just a day off from school. That's why I remember it from 11 years old, because like, oh, cool, we get another break from school. When you're 11 years old, that's the way your mind works. And so I tried to make Memorial Day a bigger day for my boys. As I got older, I became a little more patriotic. I realized that people gave their lives for this country. And so we would always, you know, hang the flag out. We would make a big deal of hanging the flag on Memorial Day. But beyond that, I actually have some regret that I didn't make it a bigger thing than we did.
I don't regret my own youthful ignorance. Both of my grandfathers served in World War II. My namesake, Sam Teresi, served in the Pacific Theater. My mother's father was in the second wave at Omaha Beach in the Atlantic. Both of those guys saw stuff that was not stuff they wanted to talk about. And I'm very proud of both of their service. I'm very proud of what both of them did for this country. And both of them did get to come home. Sam Teresi came home, got a job, found his way to an even better situation, and lived this quietly distinguished life, and raised his kids and died at home at 96 years old. George Morris actually went back into the service for the Korean War.
Wow.
And his opinion was that the Korean conflict was worse than World War II, specifically in that in World War II, you knew the country was behind you. And Korea occupies this strange space where it wasn't nearly as politically charged as Vietnam, but they also did not get the same reception that they had coming back from World War II.
Yeah, I mean, some historians don't even call it a war. They call it a police action.
The police action, the conflict, absolutely. George suffered from crippling post-traumatic stress disorder and ended up taking his own life.
Oh.
This is an extremely emotionally charged thing, so I always try to tread very, very lightly talking about this. But it's something that has crossed my mind because we still see such a massive rate of veteran suicide. And in this younger generation, the men and women that went and fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, PTSD still looms large. We've gotten so much better than we were post-World War II, post-Korea, post-Vietnam. We've gotten so much better as a society and in the government that we have elected. We have improved immeasurably in how we treat our veterans and how we help them to navigate coming back to the world.
Yeah, thankful for that. You're right.
But I think of my grandfather, and I think of the effect of his life and his death on his daughters, which my mother and her two sisters. And I wouldn't want to turn this into an argument, but I've wondered sometimes if the people who suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, who made that terrible choice, if they shouldn't be counted with the people who made that sacrifice on the battlefield. Maybe with an asterisk. I don't know. I'm not a veteran, so I don't have the perspective to intelligently answer it myself. But I've wondered, for the people who went and served and suffered and found that they could not come back to the world, if there shouldn't be some thought given to them along with their brothers and sisters who died in battle.
Not to judge you, I think your heart is in the absolute right place. From the missteps that I have made in wishing veterans a happy Memorial Day, they have all very quickly corrected me and saying, this day is not for us. We came home.
Yeah.
This day is for the fallen.
Yeah.
And so I think, again, not a veteran, so I can't speak for it. I think they would say thank you, but no, it's for the truly fallen, the ones who made the ultimate sacrifice.
You may very well be right. And like I said, not being a veteran, I know that veterans are very clear that Memorial Day and Veterans Day are two separate things, and for good cause. In any event, there is an opportunity for you to come out to pay your respects, to honor and observe Memorial Day. We'll talk about the Avenue of Flags in just a minute when we get back on the Afternoon Drive on KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Thank you for choosing the Afternoon Drive to listen to. My name is E. Curtis Johnson. This is Philip Teresi.
Good afternoon, everybody. So talking about traditions for Memorial Day, and for 60 years now, the Memorial Day Service of Remembrance is going to take place at the Fresno Memorial Gardens. That includes something called the Avenue of Flags. And that is a 60-year tradition. This year you'll see 1,400 American flags lined up. And each year the Avenue of Flags is dedicated to a person or organization in recognition for and thanks for their service. And I'm actually really excited about this. The honoree this year is somebody that you guys have heard me talk about. It's a voice that you've heard. It's somebody that you guys are going to get to hear as a guest on this program. Bill Gaudreau.
Yes.
Bill is Bill's just an amazing human being. He is a many time volunteer with Central Valley Honor Flight. I believe he's now just a permanent part of the all-volunteer staff at Central Valley Honor Flight. And he and his wife, Janet, have given, I couldn't begin to tell you how many hours of service to that organization. Bill is involved with veterans groups just across the board in Central California. In addition to that, he is one of the most articulate speakers on the experience of veterans and the importance of veterans that I've ever met in my life. And to give you guys an example of like just how down to earth and accessible this guy is. Last year I went on my first honor flight, and funny old guy in a cowboy hat comes over, shakes my hat, introduces himself, introduces his wife. We're a couple of volunteers on the trip. Well, they aren't just volunteers. These guys are facilitators for literally anything that could come up. And as coincidence would have it, he and I have a mutual friend. He and one of my wife's dear childhood friends, they hang out at one of the same VFW posts down in Visalia from time to time.
Okay.
And so we made that connection, and so I got to talk to him quite a bit. And where I started to get an idea of the depth of this guy's character and his incredible awareness and sensitivity to his brother veterans was when we went to the Vietnam Wall. And the Vietnam Wall is an emotional experience. Even if you're not a veteran, if you understand what it is that you're looking at and you understand, I mean, down to the design choices, the Vietnam Wall is, it's a heavy thing. It's an important thing, but it's a heavy thing. And when you approach the Vietnam Wall from the West, because it's an arc, part of the design of the wall is that it is a scar in the earth to represent the scar on the American psyche that was the Vietnam War. And when you approach from the West, there's a statue, the three soldiers, and it's three men dressed in the field uniform of Vietnam-era soldiers. And it's very clear, if you look at their faces, the features of their faces, you have a white man, a black man, and a Latino man. But the entire piece of work is done in olive drab. And Bill is standing there, and so far my experience with Bill up to this point has been this just very affable, friendly, light person. And he's standing there and he's talking, and there's this group around him, but it's not just Honor Flight. It's school kids. It's tourists. It's one of the volunteer docents from the wall. And Bill is educating this group of people about the three soldiers, his brothers. And he sees me catching a couple photos of this, and he calls me over and he directs me to pay attention to certain details. And he explains these things to me and educates me about what they're about. And I was immediately impressed with the emotion that he put forward, because he'll talk about his experience in Vietnam incredibly honestly, and he won't hold back. He's going to tell you what it was like. And if he gets choked up, if he gets emotional, so be it. And so watching Bill in this context and seeing him for the rest of Honor Flight and really paying attention to him, his dedication to his brother veterans is unmatched. So stayed in touch with Bill loosely. When I got involved with Honor Flight 25 this year, Bill reached out and, you know, hey, I'm going to be there, looking forward to seeing it, all that.
Sure.
And I mentioned to him, hey, Mrs. Teresi, being a history teacher, is currently working on the Vietnam conflict. Is there any chance whatsoever that you would come in and talk to her class? Absolutely. Give her my number.
Oh, wow.
Bill spent all day talking to those kids, and he gave them so much perspective, so much understanding about what it was they saw. There were kids who wrote him letters of thanks for coming in to speak to the classroom, not as an assignment, but because they meant it. And then I saw him again on Honor Flight 25, and Bill's Bill, and he just kept swinging for the fences every single time. So my delight when I sat down to watch Honor Flight, the team behind the mission, which is a documentary that's going to air on Valley PBS. It's going to air 7 o'clock Sunday night, 9 o'clock Monday night. And if you're like out on the Central Coast, you can just go to valleypbs.org, hit watch live. You'll be able to watch it too. They open this documentary with Bill narrating an analogy that he has created about the Bell of War. And so when you watch that documentary, the first thing that you're going to get is you're going to get just a little peek at how Bill Goodrow sees his brother veterans and why Honor Flight is so important to him. So they are going to honor Bill Goodrow this year. And look, this is a Memorial Day service. It's the Avenue of Flags. It is, in all ways, a worthwhile exercise and an appropriate thing for you to take your kids and your family to.
Something you could work into your day, too. It in hearing this story, and particularly hearing you talk about Bill, it makes me realize I treat Memorial Day as just another day off, which is the wrong way to look at it. And this event here, so easy to attend. You can do it on your own timetable.
Well, and that's the thing. And I don't know if this was out of deference to Bill's schedule or if this was just the way it came together. But the event is going to take place at the Fresno Memorial Garden Cemetery, which is 175 South Cornelia, if you're punching it into a GPS, Monday at 11 a.m. So they're not asking you to get out of bed at the crack of dawn. You can go be a part of this thing. And along with getting to know more about Bill and his mission in this third act, they've got the Frontline Quartet. They've got the Fresno Stag and Thistle Pipe Band, which I got to see them in action at the Welcome Home a couple of weeks ago. These guys are amazing. And Bill and his wife, Janet, are both going to get up and talk a little bit about their love for their brother veterans and Central Valley Honor Flight. So if you're looking for something to do, I can't possibly encourage you any more than to set aside some time at 11 o'clock on Monday to go down to the Fresno Memorial Gardens, see the Avenue of Flags, see the Service of Remembrance, and hear about it from somebody who might be the most articulate firsthand witness to the service and sacrifice that our veterans have put forward, including those who are going to be remembered on Monday.
He sounds like an incredible individual. Having known you since 1997, to hear you talk from your heart like this about the impact he's had, 11 o'clock, that put it on your calendar for Monday.
Guys, it's news time. We got Jim Miller waiting for you in the KMJ newsroom.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
That would be Philip. I am the E portion of this. And on a little happier note, kind of silly. Let me just talk to the ladies of the KMG audience here for a second, Tim. If you have a man in your life, I hope there's still a little bit of a boy in him, because every good man still has a little bit of a boy in him. However, this guy may have too much boy in him. He's a Washington, D.C. man, and he's fighting to keep giant Transformers statues outside his home, and he's actually involved actors from the franchise in his efforts. His name is Newton Howard, and he's a renowned brain scientist. Yep, brain scientist. But he has commissioned an artist to create the massive statues of Autobots Bumblebee and Optimus Prime from old car parts back in January of 2021. And they are outside of his very, very posh Washington, D.C. home. Now, I am a fan of junk art, and just looking at these two statues, brilliant pieces of composition. But they're the kind of thing that you'd want to put in a playground, not outside a $1.5 million Washington, D.C. home. Again, the guy is a brain scientist, and he's standing outside these two statues that are on the right and the left of the door to his house, and he's fighting for the right to keep these things. There's even a public safety committee meeting that has been held trying to get him to move these works of art. He says, "I understand that some people think these statues don't fit the character of the neighborhood, that they stand out like a sore thumb. First, I resent being compared to a sore thumb. A healthy, functioning thumb, maybe, but a sore thumb, never." So
I'm really torn here. One, I grew up with Transformers as a kid, so I'm really partial to the Transformers, especially that he brought Peter Cullen in to get involved in this. Peter Cullen was the voice of Optimus Prime.
Okay.
I have some real affection for the characters. That's part of my childhood. And the sculptures that he commissioned are cool as hell.
Yeah, they could be in a museum.
Oh, absolutely.
They're that good.
Yeah, no, they are... to call them junk art is merely descriptive. These are exceptionally well put together sculpture. I know that there's people out there, and you hear homeowners association. What do you think? You think some Karen with a yardstick walking around bitching about the length of people's lawns? You think about some lunatic who gets mad at people for putting up Christmas decorations too early? I understand there's homeowners associations that are staffed by control freaks that aren't doing anything to improve the neighborhood. They're just making people miserable because they got that little tiny bit of authority. You chose to move into a historic neighborhood with specific rules about maintaining the aesthetics of the historic neighborhood. Buy a house in a tract where there's no historic stuff and put your awesome sculptures in front of it. You're in Georgetown, man. There's rules.
Or a trailer park. These would look awesome in a trailer park.
Now, these would look awesome outside of an amusement park. If you walked up to Six Flags and these were standing at the gates of Six Flags, you would be impressed.
Oh, yeah. If you put these in a park playground, kids would be flocking to this playground just because these things are that cool.
But you made a choice to live in a neighborhood that comes with certain rules. If you don't like an HOA, you don't move into a neighborhood with an HOA. If you don't want to respect the historic aesthetics of a neighborhood that has a requirement that you maintain the historic aesthetics of the exterior of the buildings, you don't get to put 7-foot, 8-foot tall transformers in front of your front door.
Yeah. Too much boy, not enough man.
Mr. Howard is right. They are cool. But he is in the wrong about insisting that he be allowed to keep them in front of his house.
So on the flip side, here's a story about, I will argue, too much man, not enough intelligence. Marion, Illinois. A Southern Illinois man has been charged with theft for allegedly stealing a backhoe to drive 10 miles to the airport to catch a flight. Security camera footage shows a Carbondale man arriving at Veterans Airport of Southern Illinois atop a backhoe and leaving it in the airport parking lot Thursday, according to the Williams County Sheriff's Office. Footage captured the man walking across the street from the lot to the airport lobby carrying a guitar case, according to the sheriff. The owner of the backhoe arrived at the airport a short time later and identified the equipment as belonging to his company, said the sheriff. The owner said the machine typically used to move large debris had been parked at a job site. Some of these pieces of equipment like that don't have, you know, it's not like you can put a club on them and that you can easily drive off with them. Can you imagine? Now, I've taken an Uber to an airport. I've taken a cab to an airport. But I've never taken a backhoe to an airport. I can't imagine what was going through this guy's head.
Oh, probably a bunch of premium non-prescription drugs. Hey, I don't mean to derail you here, but I just got a little bit of breaking news by way of Blake Taylor.
It's all right.
Joseph Hunter, former being an operative word today, former Fresno State men's basketball guard Joseph Hunter's back in custody at the Fresno jail as of this afternoon. You guys probably will recall that back on the 16th of May, he was arrested following a traffic stop near Ashland and Hughes. There were four people in the vehicle. They jumped out, ran from the vehicle, where police found a loaded AR-style weapon in the rear passenger seat. He had been booked on similar weapons charges, having been arrested after fleeing from the police in that case, but he was cut loose after no charges were filed. He's been booked on now four weapons-related charges by the Fresno Police Department relating to selling or transferring a firearm with the intent to avoid the requirement of working with a licensed dealer. Fresno State says Hunter has been dismissed from the program effective immediately. Their statement, Fresno State Athletics was made aware of new charges filed against men's basketball student Joseph Hunter Jr. and were working closely with campus officials to ensure applicable protocols are followed during this time. Our priority continues to be the safety of our students and campus. We will continue to cooperate with the Fresno Police Department in response to the serious nature of these unfortunate charges and per our policies. The student athlete has been dismissed from the men's basketball program effective immediately. Now being held on bail set at $160,000.
Wow, sad story.
To have gotten picked up again, I mean, one time you say this guy got into a car with folks he didn't know well, folks who were acting in a way that he had no control over, which I would imagine probably factored into the DA's decision to cut him loose after that. To get picked up another time on this, either they found more evidence that connected him to that weapon, or he did something else that caused the police to intervene and put him in handcuffs.
Makes sense. Still a sad story.
What a way to blow up your future. I mean, he was the leading men's basketball guard at Fresno State, and for now at least, he's sitting in Fresno County Jail. All right, more on this story to come. Keep an eye on KMJNow.com for the latest news. It's E. Curtis Johnson. I'm Philip Teresi, and it's Friday afternoon on KMJ.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ rolling up on 6 o'clock on your Friday afternoon. My name is Philip Teresi. That's E. Curtis Johnson. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us this afternoon. We are on our way into what for most of us is going to be a three-day weekend, Monday, of course, being Memorial Day. I posted a link if you want to check out the event at the Fresno Memorial Gardens. You'll be able to find details on exactly when and where to be out there to see the Avenue of Flags and get to know Bill and Janet Goudreau a little bit.
Good event for Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not too early either. 11 a.m. That's a nice moderate start time.
Yeah, you can still sleep in, maybe catch a little barbecue afterwards.
So, I know you're not in the market for a house right now. Would you ever consider living in a famous house?
Maybe like the White House, sure. The Brady Bunch house, no, even though this is my generation. Yeah. For example, I have Jan Brady to thank for the fact that I am a red-blooded American heterosexual male. Because at about 10 years old, watching the Brady Bunch, going, hey, that Jan looks pretty good.
So that was what dragged you over the fence, huh?
Well, it wasn't that I was over the fence. I was just, you know, I was young. I was 9, 10 years old when the Brady Bunch came on.
She was the mechanism of your awakening.
Yeah, you could call it that. The whole Marsha thing, she was an older woman. Yeah. And a little too snotty, but Jan was pretty and sweet. So despite my 9-year-old hormones having a thing for Jan Brady, no, I do not have $500.5 million to live in the actual exterior home that the Brady Bunch was filmed in, and a recreation of the inside.
Yeah. By the way, not 500 million, $5.5 million.
Did I say 500 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I just want to bring it back down to earth. This is
right,
not a $500 million home.
$5.5 million. Yeah. No, that's still too much.
So the HGTV bought it back in 2018 for $3.5 million. They shot a series, a very Brady renovation, which involved Drew and Jonathan Scott bringing in a handful of the Brady Bunch cast to remake the interior into exactly what it looked like during the filming of the show. That meant they had to add an entire second floor. They spent like $2 million renovating the house.
What's the market for this? That this seems, I mean, I understand the concept of fanboy. Okay, I get it. But this seems a little bit over the top.
I have to admit, I've got a certain affection for that 1970s, like mid-century modern is just in the rearview mirror. And we started to get into that weird tackiness that was the national obsession with cocaine starting to infest everything. Come on, who puts a floating staircase over a brick foyer? Somebody's going to die. You've got six kids and you've got a ramp to hell right in front of the front door.
Point taken.
Guys, that is going to do it for us. Thank you for hanging out this afternoon, for hanging out every afternoon. Mark Levin's on the way after an update of headlines from the Fox News team, as well as a check-in with our friends at the Valley's Legends and Legacies. Memorial Day is Monday, and we hope sincerely you have a safe and thoughtful Memorial Day. E. Curtis Johnson and I will join you Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock on News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. The Great One is next. Don't move. Thanks for hanging out. Have a great weekend.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.